Good morning. It's so special that today is Pentecost Sunday. And I didn't know that until a few weeks ago, and I was just thinking, wow, how special is that that we get to talk about prayer on a day like this when the disciples were waiting, praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And our Father, who's faithful in his promises, delivered that. It happened. And we are living at the back of that fulfilled promise. And how exciting is that? So thank you for for having me speak today. I think you came before we expected you to come. I'm like, why are they here today? Anyways, it's nice to have you here. My name is Busi. I always say that in case you forget. And when I was asked to speak on prayer, I talked to Stephen. I'm like, I'm nervous. And do you think I should say yes or no? And he was like, darling, you could have been asked to speak on something else and you could say no, but prayer is your thing. If you say no, why? And I thought, he's right. I've seen prayer do miracles. I believe in prayer. I love prayer, not just for the sake of prayer. I love Jesus. And I've seen him being real to those who pray, because prayer draws us close to him. So I said yes, because I'm like, this is something I don't have to read from somewhere. This is something I've experienced. This is something the Bible speaks about. This is something available for all of us. And we get to experience him for who he is when we say yes, when we participate, when we say, I'm going to try this out. So today, I am answering the question that is why we pray and minister to each other. And I think anybody can answer that question, anybody who's praying. Where's Kate? Kate, because you are the person who's been holding the fort on Tuesday prayers, do you just want to say why we pray on Tuesday on that online prayer? I didn't tell her this, so I thought it would be nice just to... Why we pray?
It's not because I've got a gun to my head. It's because God likes to hear from us. He wants to know what's on our heart, because he's a God who answers prayer. He wants to feed back into us. I thought it was one thing I could do.
Thank you. She's right. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to speak to him, and prayer becomes that channel where that can happen for anyone. I've just asked her because she's been faithfully being there. And when we don't show up, we know that Kate is going to be there praying. So you better join, because there's more spaces for people to join. So in trying to answer this question, why we pray and minister to each other, I thought I would do it in the simplest way I know how. And in the simple way that makes sense to me, I thought I would look at the book of Luke 11, from verse 1 to verse 4. It's very small, so maybe I should just read in case those who've got, problems. So I'm going to read. So from Luke 11, verse 1 to verse 4, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's missing something. I don't know what that is. Your will be done in us as it is in heaven. Verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 4.
Just keep going, we'll see.
Okay. Verse 4, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. And then the last part there says, deliver us from evil. So I thought most of us, we know our Father, we know the Lord's Prayer. And some of us who have English as a second language, we also have the privilege of knowing the Lord's Prayer in our mother tongues. And for me, that's been so special, because when I became a believer, that was one of the prayers I remember. Just, I could say it without thinking, but then when I met Jesus, it started making sense. It started being something that is alive, not just a religious recitation that we were taught when we were young. So that's a gift that Jesus gave us. So this prayer, as Jesus taught his disciples, maybe I can just summarize what stands out on this. The biblical account in Luke serves as a critical turning point, transitioning from observation of Jesus' personal prayer habits to the formal instruction of his followers. So that first verse says that one of the disciples came to him and says, Lord, teach us how to pray. They must have observed the way Jesus was praying. And these guys must have seen other people praying. Remember, there were other religious leaders that were around them. So they would have known that prayer is something that happens. And of course, there were Pharisees and everybody else doing the same thing. But they say, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples. This part of scripture also identifies prayer not as an occasional religious exercise, but as a foundational habitual rhythm that framed every major decision in Jesus' ministry. They must have seen him, that this guy doesn't just do things. He prays before he does anything. He prays before he makes decisions. The disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray, reveals a recognition that authentic communication with God is a learned discipline rather than just a spontaneous feeling. I feel like you learn to do that. So, of course, because prayer is so personal to me, I could not just be able just to speak. I had to get help to put things together that make sense to me so that I can communicate. So I had to ask my son to help me. I have to ask AI. I have to ask people to pray so that I can make sure that I communicate simple what prayer means and why we pray. So to be able to look at Jesus and say he did it, this is why we do it, and what does it mean for you, for us? It just became so profound to me. And Jesus prioritized solitude, regularity, and early mornings and night sessions to maintain dependence on the Father. You know, Luke talks a lot about Jesus' prayer life, more than the other Gospels. So we see that for Jesus, this was something important. No wonder the disciples didn't say, teach us how to multiply bread, teach us how to heal people, or teach us how to open the eyes of the blind. They say, teach us to pray, because they thought there's something profound about this that makes things happen. And they didn't just hear, they watch him. You know, when we pray, people are watching, and they don't just, you know, watch for the sake of watching. They think, the way you say it or the way it's important, when you do it, those are the things that reveal who this person you are in a relationship with is to you. And prayer is not just for the sake of prayer. Prayer is a relational act. We are in a relationship with Jesus. He invited us into his relationship with the Father. So when we pray, we come because we are invited. We come because we are included. We come because we are like, this is for me as much as it was for him as the Son of God. And there is a relational shift. Jesus moved prayer from a religious recitation to a personal, relational conversation addressing God, the maker of heavens and earth, as the Father. That becomes so personal to some of us. And I know that there are people who struggle with God as a Father because of the baggage we carry from our fathers. And I find it so interesting that for me, it's the opposite. When God was introduced to me as a Father, it changed everything. And I still stand here and think, I just don't understand. I don't know how it could become this light bulb turning on for me when for so many people it's a stumbling block. My father, my biological father, walked away from my mom when she was pregnant. So I've never met him. And I grew up with uncles. You know, African families are big. There's so many uncles and aunties and cousins who become your sisters and brothers. Anyways, I grew up with uncles, and then later on I had a stepdad who was not great. He just didn't know how to be a father. But when I met Jesus, and I had to recognize that there was a gap that I had, I didn't have a father there, and I had to unpack the whole thing of my father running away from my mom. You know what? When I got to know God as a Father, because Jesus says you can pray and approach him as his daughter or his son, I'm like, I'll take it. That's it. And for me, I didn't even have to compare him to, because my father wasn't there. I didn't have to undo something. I'm like, this father is not going to run away. He's not like that father who just couldn't take the responsibility. So I clung to him with everything. And he loves people who cling to him. He's like, you are in, I'm in for you. So he just drew me so close to the point where I was able to look at my biological dad who ran away that I never met and thought, poor guy. How would he have known if he didn't have a father? How would he have known how to be a father? And I started thinking of him from a place of, God, in your grace and your mercy, wherever he is, can he meet you the way I've met you as a father? And I've prayed for him many times at the beginning of my walk with Jesus and released him and, you know, all that stuff that people struggle with. And now I can come to God with boldness, with no, you know, chains pulling me back. I'm like, you are all in all for me. I don't have no other father. So when I say my father, I get it. I mean it. And I know his embrace, I know his love. So when people say, why we pray because we are sons and daughters who've been given access to the Father whom we cannot compare to all the other fathers that have failed us. And if we can live to introduce all the wounded people to this loving God who says, come as you are, that is why we pray. Jesus says, you pray like this because he knew we needed it. And of course we pray because the Bible is full of testimonies of prayers being answered. Jesus' prayers being answered by his Father when he was choosing the disciples, before his transfiguration, before the cross. So we know our Father answers prayers. And of course, we've got many other people in the Bible who prayed, and God who listened comes through. How much more he will do it for us when we've got all that we know, and we can remind him and say, you did it then. Won't you do it today? He does it. And of course, as we move on, Jesus' praying was visible enough to his disciples to stir the holy desire. The disciples witnessed a direct correlation between Jesus' prayer life and his authority over nature, over demonic forces, and over all the obstacles that would have been big to them. But when Jesus prayed, or when he took his stand, things changed. So when we pray here, things change. But it's a matter of, are you open enough to see? Are your eyes open to see him here? There would have been many people who missed Jesus and his prayers that were there, but they missed the whole thing. And even with us in our churches, in our gatherings, we are still at risk of being there when others pray, when the Spirit comes, and we still walk away as if nothing happens. The disciples didn't miss it. They kept asking questions, even though they were confused. You know, sometimes I look at these disciples, I get embarrassed on their behalf because they ask those questions that you think, really, did you just ask that question? Or they miss things that you think, that's so obvious, you should have known that's Jesus. But they would, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so us, that's me. Right there, I'm glad that they did it on my behalf so that I can look at them and say, I'm glad you did it so that I don't have to do it. And then, of course, they mentioned John the Baptist when they were asking Jesus, because they knew that in this relationship, being disciples, learning from their rabbi, being taught to pray was one of those things. But they wanted a different kind of prayer, not those kind of prayers. So their asking had a deep desire of something that was just authentic, not like everybody else. And it's available for us. When Stephen and I came here, we wanted to participate, and we were just chasing God. We wanted to be where God was moving. And it's interesting for me that the first places that I felt connected in at Sea Change were prayer spaces. We came and we saw that those notices. And of course, we saw the prayer before church, we saw the prayer on Tuesday, we saw the upper room and seekers, and I thought, I'm going to check these things out, because that's where we are going to find the heart of the church, that's where we are going to find God and what God is saying here. And I got connected to the heart of the church, we got connected to people, but also it gave us a sense of responsibility on what God is doing here. We're like, now that we know, we can't just sit back, we have to pray into these things, we have to be available. So prayer does connect us to one another, but it also connects us to the heart of the Father for what he wants to do in our world through us. So when you sit back, you may not know that God is on the move, and you may miss out. But when you say, I don't get this prayer thing, but I'm going to come, you just have to do one thing. You show up, and God meets you there. We approach prayer with all these things that make it so complicated, so scary, and so, you know, unreachable. It's just communicating with the one who loves us and the one who cares. And even when your words don't make sense, he gets your heart. God gets us. Sometimes I come, I sit in prayer spaces, I listen to people pray, I run out of words. My heart just weeps. I cry a lot, not because, but sometimes I just get so overwhelmed by the heart of the Father. When we pray, you get to see how much He cares, and you get to see the pain of people around you, because prayer draws you in the heart of God, who cares, who's compassionate, who sits with people in their pain. A praying church participates in what's happening around. You cannot be a praying person and you sit back. It doesn't happen, because God leads you where He is working. And sometimes where He's working, it's painful. But that's where we find Him. That's where we find His heart. That's where we find His compassion. So, of course, we talked about Jesus praying regular, and He made prayer a priority. In Mark 1:35, it says He rose very early in the morning. There's few verses that tell us that He rose early in the morning, before the business of the day, before the list that we have to tick. He would be up with the Father, giving Himself to God, wanting to hear what God has for him, and then he would continue with the day from that place of being filled, being recharged, being empowered, and hearing the heart of the Father. And He intentionally sought lonely places, certain places where He would limit distractions and foster intentionality. You know, when I thought of this, I'm like, it's busy here. People are so busy. People are so fast. I'm like, it needs discipline to be able to seek these lonely places where you can connect with God on your own. Where we lived in South Africa, Stephen and I were close to a big national park, Kruger Park, which has got all the animals that are dangerous. And Stephen loved going there, I loved going there. But I would get bored quickly, because all you would be doing is sit in the car and watch for animals until you get tired and your eyes are tired. But I love coming to the Royal National Park here, because you just walk and talk to God, see the beautiful trees and the small animals around. I'm like, this is the place to come to connect with our Father. And no dangers around. It's the opposite of where I come from. I just love it. But I think I love it more than the people who've grown up with it, because probably people take it for granted. But for me, it's such a gift. It's a place to be. And then, of course, Jesus also didn't treat prayer as an emergency thing. It was His daily life. It was His communion with His Father, and He invited us into that. So as we look on the this prayer He gave as a lesson, or as a model to the disciples, I do want to say a few things about this Lord's Prayer. So with the help of AI, I was able to break it into that. That's not me being whatever. But I just love the fact that it breaks it down in a way that, you know, it's not just reciting it. So, of course, we say Our Father, which speaks into the relationship, the fact that we are adopted. We are His sons and daughters. And we approach Him with that relationship of a daughter coming to the Father. You know, when you come to your parents, sometimes you don't have to explain yourself. They look at your face and they know that she didn't have a good day. So we can come to God like that, because He gets us. He's our Father. And I love the fact that when you come to your Father, even if you're annoyed by someone else, you can just tell Him that. You don't have to, you know, He gets it and He meets you there. So that relationship. And hallowed be Your name. I think Anthony said something about that part of Our Father this week, right? Just about the name of God being holy, set apart. So when we come to Him knowing who we are coming to Him, again, you cannot help but worship Him if you understand He is holy, and He invites us into that space. So we come with humility. I love the upper room here because this is another place where we just come, and he meets us here. We give our hearts, and he takes us to the place where he's like, you need to be here, you need this. And that's prioritizing God's glory over our personal needs. His name, not my name. His name, not the name of my country or my family. You know, sometimes we get such identity or security in the names of this is where I come from or this is my family name, but we've been given a name above all names, a name that changes everything. Your kingdom come. It is his kingdom that we are part of. When we pray, we advance his kingdom against the kingdom of this world. Prayer leads us into his mission. What are we here for? What are we exist for? What is the purpose of us as his church? That's acknowledging God's authority and his reign in our world and in our lives. Your will be done. I love that part, recentering and aligning ourselves with his will, which is why, to me, it makes sense that Jesus would wake up very early. Father, what is your will for me today? How can I align myself with what you have for me? Instead of waking up and running around like a headless chicken and being influenced by all sorts of things that leave us exhausted at the end of the day. And seeking God's will and making him a priority. Give us this day, today, our daily bread, our dependence on him, trusting him for our needs and necessities. I know that it's not a very easy thing if you are living in the Western world, because there's abundance here. People know how to make life happen. But big parts of our world, people live by that. Give us our daily bread. They live today not knowing if tomorrow they will make it. And that becomes their lifeline. That is where you see prayer works, when people know, I don't have answers, I'm not in control, I may not be able to provide, but I know who provides. Forgive us. We come to him as we are. We trust him for cleansing. We just say, you know me. I am depending on your forgiveness, and he meets us there, maintaining a clear conscience and heart every time we come. You don't, I've come to God in moments where I've been so angry, so disappointed and all that stuff, and I always walk away feeling like I didn't have to justify. He heard me, and sometimes it just helps me see things clearly than I've come thinking that I see it. So coming, knowing that that's where forgiveness is, that's why we pray. We pray because we cannot afford to carry lots of baggage day in and day out. It's just too much. Lead us not into temptation. He guides us. He knows what's behind the corner. So he's able to say, not there, but there. And we can rely on him for that. Deliver us from evil. How much he protects us. For me, that's always what I go to bed with thinking. I just don't know how many times he delivered me from evil. I don't know. But he does. We walk out of our homes. We just don't know what the enemy is up to. But we've got a Father who delivers us, who covers us, who shepherds us. And this is why we pray. We pray so that we are aware. We never get lost in thinking that I've got it all or it just happens. No, it doesn't. He is at work behind the scenes. He is a Father who's present with us. And Jesus led us into that space. I often think God didn't need us. The Trinity was perfect without us. The relationship was working beautifully. And God, in his mercy, He made space for us. And you know, as we are people who mess up things, he could have said, no, I can't afford having them in this holy space, but he did. I still don't understand how could he. So how can we not approach him with such reverence and humility when we know the one who didn't need us, he made space for us because he knew we need him. This is why we pray. And lastly, I had so many things to say, but I was thinking, you know, I'm talking to people who know God. I'm talking to people who know about prayer. Today is just the reminder of why we pray. So much is at stake when we don't. The church exists so that we can make a difference, and we are the church. When we don't pray, we give the enemy the upper hand. He wreaks havoc again around us when the church is asleep. Jesus says, watch and pray. How much is his church doing that? Because we know we are invited. We are not doing it on our own. He is in it with us. So I just thought one of the biggest reasons for me why we pray is because of the relationship we are in. You cannot be in a solid relationship where there's no communication, where you don't get the heart of the person you're in a relationship with. You know, Stephen and I, we don't talk much. Sometimes we just sit there, but we get each other. And it's interesting that when you know the other person well, you can just have a face that says to him, just shut up, just stop it. You know? And I love that because I think the closer we draw to God, maybe he does look at us sometimes. I'm like, oh, I better just keep quiet. That was not the right thing to say. So prayer does that. The more we draw close to this relationship we are part of, the more we get to know the heart of the one who invites us in. So I wanted to end with the blessings we have in praying and ministering to each other. We get deeper intimacy with our Father. We draw close to him. We get to abide in him. Like Jesus said in John 15, abide in me. And in abiding, we bear fruit that the world benefits from and people around us. And as I was thinking about this abiding, I think it was on our daily bread something a few weeks ago where it was talking about this kind of fish called remora that attaches itself to the shark. It's got something that just makes it stick under the shark. And it says, this fish doesn't do anything. It's just there. And it eats the things that fall from the shark eating. And it's protected. It doesn't have to go anywhere. It just sits there and it goes to where the shark is going. I'm like, this is abiding at its best. We can't be like this fish just being stuck to our Father. He takes us where he wants us to be. He provides for us. He gives us our daily bread. I'm like, man, there's so much for us in this abiding, but sometimes you miss out. Also, the other blessing is sharpened discernment. We become alert. We see things with fresh eyes. We gain better understanding of God's will when we pray, when we sit with him. He reveals what's important to him, what matters. Sometimes we are caught up in things that don't even have eternal value. We just waste our energy. But when we pray, we gain understanding what's our Father's heart all about, and we become alert to what's going on around us. And that helps us to minister to each other, because when you sit and you're alert, you can sense if someone needs a prayer, a hug, or a listening ear. But when we don't pray, we miss opportunities. We walk away from what God would have wanted to do through you because you are just lost. And then the other thing is the peace that surpasses all understanding that comes from sitting in that space. The non-anxious presence that we bring when we've been praying, because we've experienced how much peace people need, how much anxiety is around us. And as His children, we've got the answer. But we don't always use it as much as it's needed. We also get anxious, even though He says, do not be anxious about anything. The empowerment, which is what Shez was talking about. We become empowered. We get filled by the Holy Spirit every moment. And I love that, because I was thinking, being empowered, being refilled, being recharged, it reminded me of, remember when these things came out? Power banks. You guys might not even have used them much, because we've always had power. Us who come from South Africa, we had what we called load shedding. Our electricity was not able to meet the needs. So we would have electricity for certain hours, and then you are out of electricity. And of course, if you didn't charge your phone, that means you can't be contacted. And when these things came out, they changed Africa. Power banks. So the few hours we had electricity would charge them. And then you would go out, and if it's got so many things to plug, you'd have four phones with your power bank, everybody wanting to charge their phone, because they knew that power is going to go and I'm not going to be available on the phone. So as I was thinking about being empowered, I thought, when we pray, God empower, it's like He recharges us with His presence, His Spirit, and we go out of that prayer space full. You do not know who's going to need to be plugged into you to have life. But when you pray, when you don't, you are like the uncharged power bank. You are as useless as whoever else. So prayer recharges you, not just for you, so that you are powerful, so that God can plug people into you during the day, because He knows that what you have, the world needs. We become empowered, we get refilled, we get recharged, because the world needs people who are full of God. That's a blessing, that's why we pray. It's so that we can be ready to give life to the world that needs it. So the verse I wanted to read as we finish is from the Message, my favorite translation. Sorry, darling. That's not Stephen's favorite translation. Okay, so I wanted to read this verse, because I wanted us to just hear these words from the one who invites us to sit with Him. I wanted us to hear this verse so that we know it is out of this that we minister to each other. It is out of being loved that we love. It is out of being cared for that we care for others. It is out of being referred to as friends that we become that friend that touches, that friend that crosses over to where someone has a need. So Jesus says, I have loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in His love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because the servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember, the root command, love one another. We minister because we are loved, and he has given us a command to love one another. That is why we pray, and that is why we minister. I loved, there was a quote on the lecture devotion this morning from Dr. Chris Green, where he said at the end of his quote, following the Spirit always leads down from the upper room and out the outer courts. So as we are being led by the Spirit, as we are being loved, we cannot just stay in the upper room. We have to follow the Spirit to the outer courts, where people are hurting, where people are in need, where hope is needed. And that's what the disciples did. They received the Holy Spirit, and they went out there and turned the world upside down. And that's what we are called to do when we pray. I'm going to ask Shres to.
For somebody who was nervous, that was brilliant. Let's give her a hand. Thank you, Bissy. We both just thought that this would be a really beautiful time to just minister to each other in prayer. Just out of what you've spoken today, Bissy, I love that part of the power bank, you know. Let's pray together and allow God to refill our power bank so that we can leave here and be a blessing to those around us. And I love the idea that we can come to a loving Father and pray as sons and daughters, and know that he's a Father who wants to give us good things, that he's going to meet our needs. You know, Hebrews tells us